Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
At the heart of the latest SAA leadership controversy is a fundamental governance battle. Should the government or the board have the final say in appointing a chief executive officer? The Institute of Directors in South Africa is calling out the Transport Minister for allegedly pushing through the appointment of the acting chief executive, John Lamola. He is well connected, despite the objections from the board. And this raises critical questions about governance in state-owned enterprises, accountability, and also the long shadow of political deployment. I'm in conversation now with Professor Pami Natasan, Chief Executive Officer of the Institute. Pami, a very warm welcome. What does this case, in your opinion, say about the state of corporate governance in South Africa's public sector?
I think there are a number of challenges in public sector governance which we've raised over a number of years. Some of them include the way board members to SOEs are appointed, you know, whether they are appointed based on merit, competence and skills, experience, etc., or whether there's political influence in the appointments of board members, which we did see in things like the Zondo report, etc. But another big issue that we constantly talk about is the fact that government appoints the CEOs of SOEs. And this is all above board in terms of the law for SOEs. Government appoints both the board and the CEO. But normally in a governance structure, what you would have is the shareholders have, of course, the right to appoint board members or directors who they believe will direct and oversee the entity properly and that the entity will ultimately survive and thrive. But then, on the other hand, those board members, in order for them to function properly, need to ensure that they have some sort of say in who the CEO is, because ultimately, in order for the company to survive and thrive and for the board to do their role effectively, they need to rely heavily on whoever the CEO is of that entity.
So if you have a case like we've seen at South African Airways, where does this leave the board then? Does it render it almost neutered in a way when it comes to holding the chief executive officer accountable?
So not necessarily. I mean, we have seen in the past examples in some of our SOEs where there was thought that the CEO possibly had more power than the board. The CEO possibly had a direct line to the shareholder, being the minister representing government. And therefore, you know, if the board asked questions or made the CEO uncomfortable, could almost get those board members removed, is what the perception was. I think in this case, you know, I've also seen subsequent articles that says the board, when sending the recommendation of three candidates to the shareholder, the minister, indicated that they'd be comfortable with any of the three being appointed. So in this case, I guess it's hard to tell. I've also seen the board make statements that they welcome the appointment of the CEO and look forward to working with the individual. So hopefully the new CEO has the full backing and support and trust of the board.
Let's look at this in terms of just pure King Code principles. Could this be a violation of fiduciary duties, for instance, or even creating some kind of legal risk for those people sitting on the board?
So look, in terms of the legalities, I'm not a lawyer, so I can't answer with confidence, but I can tell you just a common sense perspective, I don't think there'd be a fiduciary duty issue. I think the thing is, if the board is comfortable with the candidate ultimately, which is the most important thing, then I think they fulfill their duty. I think what would be an issue is if the board stays on board and goes along with a candidate who they fundamentally believe can't do the job. I think that would be questionable.
If the chief executive, and we're not necessarily talking just about South African Airways, is not performing well, though, what would it make it more difficult for the board to challenge that person's performance, given that there might be a degree of political cover in that appointment in the first place, if you understand what I'm saying?
There's certainly that risk. And, you know, as I've said, we have seen in the past where it seems like CEOs have more power and don't consider themselves answerable or accountable to the board. I think there is that risk. But I think any competent board member or director would be able to hold the CEO accountable, raise concerns with the minister if necessary, and then even possibly consider their future on the board if things become untenable to the point that you're describing.
Is there any way, given the unique situation in South Africa, to depoliticize CEO appointments in key state-owned enterprises? Or is this something that we simply have to factor in as a reality and a risk?
I think it's a reality in any country that not only CEOs, but board members of the state entities probably are appointed by people involved in politics. I think, though, it can be managed. So I think there needs to be, take aside political influence, political affiliation, there still needs to be a set of basic eligibility criteria that we're looking at when appointing these board members and CEOs.
You raised, Pami, the Zonda Commission a little earlier, as you rightly said. It exposed the dangers of unchecked political interference in SOEs. The tragedy here is that in spite of that very high-level warning, little seems to have changed.
Absolutely. And every year in the State of the Nation address, we hear from the president that things are going to change in how SOE boards and CEOs are appointed, but we don't really see that change manifesting. You know, we've also worked over the years with the Department of Public Services and Administration on a guide to the appointment of board members and CEOs to SOEs, where it was going to clearly indicate the sort of due diligence that needed to be completed, the levels of competence, skill and experience that would be necessary, etc. But that didn't come to fruition either.
Thank you very much for talking to me today. That is Professor Pami Natasan, Chief Executive Officer, Institute of Directors in South Africa.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.